Wow. Thank you, Brandon. And I just want to say it is a privilege and an honor to be able to speak today. And to have that kind of introduction is a little bit intimidating. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just it's amazing. And I could not help but think about my own personal journey as he was talking and his middle name. I was asked after the service last night about Shockley, Brandon Shockley. Where did the name come from? And how did we get the name Shockley? Well, my spiritual mentor, his name was Creed Shockley McCoy. And that was an old family name that came out of Middle Tennessee. And so my mentor wanted us to name Brandon Creed, but there was already two Creeds, and I figured three was enough, was we were way too many. And so Jen and I, we took the middle name, Creed Shockley, and gave the Shockley to Brandon. So there is a heritage there, not only from the physical line, but also from that spiritual lineage that God has put into our pathway. And so I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to be here today and to speak to you on this very, very special day, Father's Day. And let me say to all the dads that I congratulate you and I wish you a happy Father's Day. And I'm going to talk to you about dads. I want to talk to you about dads. Now I'm going to ask them to put a picture on the screen. Now these are four very, very special men to me. And to me, they're my four favorite dads. You recognize the one on the far right for sure, and that's Brandon. But that's Brandon and his three brothers. And I was thinking today, if I was going to sit down at the kitchen table and I was going to talk to them about what it meant to be a successful father, a confident parent, I would talk to them about a man by the name of Joshua. And so today, I'd like to invite you, as it were, to our kitchen table, where we've had many, many, many conversations about how it would be in certain areas of life, what we would do, what this person meant, and so on. So I want to invite you to our kitchen table today, and we're going to learn from Joshua what it means to be a confident father. And I want to take you to the bookends of his life to do that. I want to take you to the end of his life, and then I want to take you to a beginning stage in his life. And the bookends are one whole period in the life of this man named Joshua. Moses is known as the great lawgiver and deliverer of the children of Israel. You remember that the children of Israel were in Egypt. They were in bondage. And God sent Moses to deliver them, and he did. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness because they did not have what it took to go in and just occupy the land that God had given them. Joshua was shoulder to shoulder with Moses during that whole period of time. He served Moses. He was Moses' assistant, if you will, for all that period of time. When Moses died, the baton was passed to Joshua. And that's the beginning of the book of Joshua. That's where we want to pick up. But let me fast forward, if I could, to the end of Joshua, and I want to read to you what Joshua said at the end of his life. What he did, he brought all of his family, he brought all of the leaders of Israel together, and he made this profound announcement to them that is so fraught with confidence that it catches our attention. And so, Joshua chapter 24, I want to read two verses there, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, "Now therefore," this is Joshua speaking, "fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are now dwelling. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He didn't say that I hope that my family and I will be able to serve the Lord. Here he is at the end of his life, and he's making a confident forecast. And the forecast is simply this: I can speak for me, and I can speak for my family, that my family and I are going to serve the Lord. Now, I know that's a confident statement. And it's very possible that some of us in this room are saying, well, it must have been a real good place for him to make that kind of statement. It must have been an environment where everything encouraged that kind of life. But let me remind you that there was a lot of similarities between where he was and where we are. There were a lot of people around who had a lot of different views about life than Joshua and his family did. Matter of fact, there were religions that were so strange that they led people to do very perverse and horrific things. For example, there was a religion that was in the land. They built giant altars. I've seen one, my own eyes. And on that altar, they offered human sacrifice. That was a part of the culture and the religious ideology. There was also these places where they would meet with the priests of certain religions. And in order to have prosperity on their farms, they would engage with the priest in sexual intercourse. And it was just a part of what they did. You see, the perversions were very great. So when we say that we live in a society where there are cultures that are adversarial to what we're trying to do with our families, we know that Joshua experienced the same thing. So when he makes this kind of announcement, this pronouncement, that is for me and my house, we're going to do this. Not we might do it. I hope we'll do it. My prayer is we'll do it. No, we're going to. Now, to understand how Joshua could be so confident, we have to go back and look at the beginning of his journey in the first chapter of Joshua and see what he did. So now we jump back to the first chapter of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Listen. God said to him, verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you and will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong. The emphasis grows right here in this verse. From verse 5 to verse 7, it grows. It intensifies. There's an intensification of what God said to Joshua to do. He said, only be strong and very courageous, so you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, listen, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be shaken. Do not be insecure. You can be confident. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, we're going to look at the end and the beginning at the same time. Because here's what we're looking at. We're looking at Joshua, who's in a place where there's every kind of adversarial situation that would cause him to look at his family, I'm about to die, and say, I pray, I hope, maybe. No, he did not. He said, it will be this way. How could he do that? Well, Joshua made a destiny-determining decision. And that decision orbed around two things. It orbed around, one, a trustworthy person. He put his trust in a trustworthy person. And two, he chose to follow a tried pathway. Those two things. It was decision that he made. It was destiny decision. First, let's look at the person he chose to trust. You see, Joshua wasn't making that statement at the end of his life because he knew that he had done such a great job. That wasn't it. What he was doing, he was making that statement because the person that he trusted was able to guarantee that the pathway that he followed was paved with promises from God that God kept. He put his trust in God. When you look at this, the word meditate carries with it a focus. And it's a thought pattern. And that thought pattern focuses upon God. And so when God said to Joshua, not only do you meditate upon the words, not only do you meditate upon the way, but you focus your attention first upon the person. And for him, the person was God. And so he came down to the end of his life in verse 14, chapter 24. He said clearly to all of the people, serve God. What's the best pathway? What's the pathway to prosperity and success? Prosperity is not what is often talked about today as being prosperity. Prosperity here means to get in line with what God is doing. And once you're in line with what God is doing, God will give you the traveling grace so that you might reach your destination. And so what he's doing, he's saying, no, put your trust in the trustworthy person who can guarantee that when you run up against barriers, when you hit situations that are adversarial, where there's difficulty, if your trust is in the right person who's trustworthy, then you can be assured that you're going to make your journey and you're going to arrive at your destiny. What a great thing. For Joshua, that was God. And he was given the name Joshua because of his trust in God. And his name simply means God delivers. God delivers. God delivers from that which would destroy. God delivers to that which is your destiny, the God-given destiny. So Joshua bore the name that said to everybody around him, this is the way. Trust the trustworthy person, that's God. Now, interestingly, Joshua in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, his name is translated Iesus. That's the Greek word, Iesus. Now, guess in the New Testament what that name is in the New Testament. Iesus, Jesus. So for us today, listen. For us today, if we're going to be confident parents, where do we put our trust? Where do we transfer our trust? Where do we make our transaction of faith? If we transfer our trust, who's it going to be to? You want it to be to a trustworthy person. You want it to be to someone who can guarantee when they make a promise, they can fulfill the promise. Who is that? Who has the capacity to guarantee in any situation that the promise they make will be fulfilled? Could I suggest to you, Jesus is that person. Why is he that person? Because you've heard it said different times over that Jesus came and in every situation he lived the ideal life. What humanity is supposed to be before man fell, before there was a problem, that's who Jesus was. In every dimension, there was not a dimension of his life where he missed the mark. Not one. He hit the bullseye in everything. But we know that he died in our place. He took our failures where we missed the mark. He took that on himself. He took our mistakes, our misjudgments, and our determined rebellion. He took it all on himself. And you're just saying about being placed in a tomb. He was put in a tomb for 3 days. Now, here's what he faced. He faced every kind of adversary that you and I can face, even death and hell itself. And he rose as a conqueror of death and hell himself. He had already defeated every other adversary. These two final ones, death and hell, he defeated them. Now here he is. He's the great guarantor. He's the great guarantor. He says, I want you to know that if you trust me, I can get you to your destiny. If you trust me, I can get you to your destiny. Now, what does that mean to us as parents? Let me ask you a question, Dad. Let me ask you a question, Mom. Who do you want to trust your kids to? Who do you want to trust your children to? Here's what I would suggest for every one of us. That we lay our hands upon our children when they're babies, even before they're born, even before they take their first gasp of breath in this world, that we give them to Jesus. We give them to Jesus. I mean, it's an act of our wills because we're trusting them to someone who can guarantee that their destiny can be fulfilled. And if we will give them to him and lead them to make that kind of same decision, that destiny-making decision, that they're going to trust a trustworthy person. The only person on this planet who can fully guarantee everything that he promises is Jesus himself. As a dad, I could never do that. Oh, I'd like to be able to. I'd like to be able to say, okay, it's going to be this way, it's going to be that way, it's going to be the other way, and then guarantee without any equivocation that it would be that way with our sons. But you know, I have my own limitations. I have my own fallibilities. And so do you. So we cannot guarantee it. But here's the thing, Jesus can. And so as an act of faith and recognition, the first thing that we can do is to place our trust in the trustworthy person with our lives and then lead our children to put their trust in the trustworthy person who is Jesus. You see, if we're going to be confident as a father, we must have someone in whom we can place our ultimate confidence and they will never let us down. And that's Jesus. Let me ask you today. Have you made that kind of commitment? Have you made that kind of decision where you've transferred your trust to him? That's the first thing. You trust as a confident parent. I mean, Joshua at the end, he looked back and he said, look at this. All the way through for all these years, in every way, when I've trusted God, God's come through with what he said he would do. God always come through with what he said he would do. And therefore, I can be confident. I can be confident. Not only do you trust a trustworthy person, but you travel a tried pathway. You travel a tried pathway. This is a pathway that brings inspiration to your family. You want to travel a pathway that inspires, that is inspirational. And so once you travel, you say, okay, I'm going to choose this pathway. What does it do? It brings inspiration. I was reading about a young man who's now not so young, but I read his statement. His mother and father very actively engaged in the Christian faith and pretty well known. And now he is following in their footsteps. And he made this statement. He said, you know, I never did want to rebel against my parents. I never did. Matter of fact, rather than rebel, I wanted to be like them. They were the kind of people that what they said, they did. The life they professed, they lived. They were inspiring to me. I read that and I thought, man, I wish that would be me. Don't you want that to be you? His parents inspired him to choose a pathway that they had followed. In other words, like Joshua, he chose that pathway. God said to Joshua, listen, Joshua, here's the pathway. Now, do you think Joshua was a perfect parent? Do you think Joshua never missed the mark? Do you think, it doesn't talk about how he missed the mark. It doesn't talk about that, but we know that no man is perfect. But the question is, was he inspirational? Not was he perfect, but he didn't have perfection, but he gave inspiration. Was he inspirational? Listen to this. In chapter 24 of Joshua, verse 31, the Bible tells us that all of the elders and the leaders, while Joshua was alive, they did what he did. They followed his trail. And then the generation after Joshua was dead, they followed the same thing. The Bible says they served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And the generation that followed after Joshua was dead, they followed the same thing. They served the Lord. You see, it's not about perfection, but my dear friend, it is about inspiration. Our pathway needs to be one that inspires people. And it can be one that inspires our families to follow a pathway, if we choose to follow it. Because here's what we need to know. What we live before our families is powerful. Remember, your life is a powerful thing. And your life is a powerful influence. And your life is a powerful inspiration. And that inspiration can be for that which is damaging and leaves scars and wounds. Or it can be for that which is inspiring to that which is good and right and healthy and wholesome and holy. We have the choice how we live before our families. And what we do before them and what they see in us before them is powerful beyond anything that we can know. Before our family, but not only before them, with them. With our families. You see, you want to influence them. You have a certain set of values, and those values, they've come from the person of Jesus. You have a goal in your own life once you transfer your trust. You look at this and you say, well, here's Jesus. He is my model. He's my example. I'm following in his steps. In everything, Jesus met the mark. He met the task. He fulfilled the goal. In every way, I look at him and say, he is my inspiration. And as I follow him and I gain his inspiration, I want to be inspiring. And to do that, we have to have a set of values that elevate people up, that lift them up. And we have, in our day, we have to just recognize that we have competing values. In our world, there are different competing values. And when we see values that move our families away from the values that we embrace, we need to step in. That's the reason it's not only important to do it before your family, but it's important to follow that pathway of inspiration with your family. One stage in our life, our two older boys were very, well, actually, Brandon and his two older brothers were all three very involved in a soccer club, not just a soccer team, but a soccer club. And it was a demanding time in our lives. It was a demanding time on me as a dad, demanding time on my wife, and it was just a demanding season in our lives. And time was a precious, as it always is, but time was a precious commodity, and finding time was a very difficult thing. And so we woke up one day and realized the coach of the soccer team that our two older boys were on was having more influence on our sons than we were. And it wasn't that he was a bad guy, was it? He just had a totally different set of values and direction and destiny than we did. So we made the hard call. And dads and moms, sometimes we just have to make the hard call. We made the hard call. And we decided, Jan and I did, we decided that we're going to move those boys out of that soccer club. Now, the two older boys, it was a pretty big season for them. Now, you've heard about Brandon's athletic exploits, and you know, so we'll not drill down too much in that, but I'll say he was on the same club. But it wasn't as traumatic to pull him out as it was his two older brothers. And so we made the decision. Just saying. Okay. So, Beck, you liked that, didn't you? So, we decided we'd do it at Christmas time. Why Christmas? Well, because it was a break in the season. And it was a change from the season they were in to the season they were going in. And it was also a time that we could offer some good gifts as incentives, if you get my drift. And so instead of soccer shoes and soccer balls and all the things that go with soccer, shin guards and all that, instead of all those things, we bought shotguns. We thought that was a good gift for Christmas. I'd been out on Lake Levan with a member of the church where I was pastoring, and we'd been out there crappie fishing. I'd been down in East Texas with him hunting. And we were sitting in the boat crappie fishing, and he said, you know, you can hunt all around through here. And he said, man, there's a lot of rabbits here. I wish — he's a big bird hunter and quail hunter — and he said, I wish there were a lot of quail. Not many quail, but there are a lot of rabbits in here. I thought, way a bingo. And so we bought shotguns, with the intention we could go to Lake Levan and catch crappie with the rods and reels we bought and shoot rabbits with the shotguns we bought. Now, you might be interested to know that that's where your students are going in a few days, to Lake Levan, where we were hunting. There are no more hunters on Lake Levan, just to ease your... But we moved them where we could have, I could be with them, we could be with them and change their environment so we could encourage our values. Here it is, Mom and Dad. You personally, don't leave it to the pastor or the staff of your church, your teacher, and hope they're godly people. Don't do that. Be thankful if they are. But personally take the responsibility as a parent to give more influence to your children and inspiration for them to embrace that which you're living before them and with them. Travel a tried pathway. Personally follow it. Secondly, lead your family, lead your children along that same pathway. Lead them on that pathway because it is God's good design for their life. Understand this, that God has not designed for you to experience a calamitous life. All things calamitous are in opposition to God. It is a result of bad decision that our Edenic parents made, Adam and Eve, and we know about that. And so the whole world is broken. But it's God's design and God's destiny for you and me to live in a world, as Brandon sometimes says, where we can run with the cheetahs and swim with the dolphins. In other words, His design is for us to live beyond and above the calamitous. He said to Joshua, here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a GPS. God's plan for success. I'm going to give you a GPS. I don't know how many of you travel, but I travel, and when I go into a city, this week I'll be into Philadelphia, and when I go into Philadelphia, the car I have, if it does not have a GPS, I'll be trading it. And if I can't get one with a GPS, I'll be calling an Uber. You know what I mean? I mean, I just don't drive in a city without a GPS because I want to get where I'm supposed to be. God said to Joshua, I want to get you where you're supposed to be. Here's my plan for your success. Here's my law. Now, some have sort of deprecated the law of God. Don't deprecate the law of God. God's law is good. God's law is good. It gives us a pathway to follow that is our guidance, and it gives us guardrails, which are our protection. In other words, he guides us and he guards us. God does both. And he said to Joshua, you take this law that I've given you and don't play around with it. Don't hedge. Don't hedge on it. I don't know if you remember when Brandon preached about getting up to the edge. Don't hedge to the edge. Don't see how far you can put your toes toward the prohibition so that you might be tempted just to step over. No, no, no. What God says is, let me keep you away from that. Don't hedge. Let me give you guardrails. Let me give you guardrails so that you won't be running over the boundaries. He gives us guardrails and he gives us guidance. And he said to Joshua, don't play around with it. Not to your left nor to your right. Stay right on track. Stay right on track. What a word to you and me. What a word to us today. He says, if you'll do this, you'll be on the way that I designed for you. That's prosperity. God's design for you and me, when we are in alignment with his destiny and his design, that's prosperity. And then he says, if you'll be strong and courageous, you'll be able to make the journey all the way until you're 110 years old like Joshua and look back and say, God was a guarantor of his guidance and his guardrails. And now I can say, because this is the way. This is the way. My family's embraced it. God guarantees it. God guarantees it. Lead them. Lead them. Could I tell you there's a difference between leadership and directing? There's a difference between directing and leading. And parents, in a time when we are so rushed and hurried and have so little time, we're inclined, are we not, to give direction? I know I was. Give direction. And what our children really need is leadership. Ephesians chapter 6 will be preached all over this country and around the globe during these days, this day on weekend, Father's Day weekend, and it'll be talking about bringing up your children. The word bringing up describes a process, and it is a process where you lead. You lead. You lead. You lead your children. You lead your family. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, it's going to talk about a father and about a husband. And what I tell you there, when it talks about the head of the household, let me tell you what that means. Headship is synonymous with leadership. It's not dictatorship. It's leadership. And it's not dictatorship with your children. It's leadership with them. In other words, you come alongside them. You walk before them. You give them something that they can follow. And then you come along beside them. Two words there in Ephesians that we need to understand. One is the word instruction. The word instruction. We give them instruction that's content informational. You teach them what the Bible says. You teach them what God has done. You give them the information and the content of the life and the character of Jesus himself. You do that with them. But you also do another thing. The old version says admonition of the Lord. The word admonition is the word encouragement. It's the word encouragement. It's the word support. And the whole idea in the picture there is someone who gets in front of and encourages. Come on. Come on. You can do this. You can do it. I can think of so many ways that is applicable to us as parents. I can't even imagine how many ways it's applicable. I mean, I can think of, all right, anything from your 16-year-old daughter learning how to drive. Ellie. You can do it. To your boy playing basketball, you can do it. You can do it. You can do that. Well, if we can encourage them in those things, can we not encourage them and lead them in that which is absolutely essential for their destiny? Of course we can. That's Ephesians 6. And that's what Joshua did. He did that beginning in chapter 1 and in chapter 24 of the book. He looks out and he says, look, we've traveled this pathway. We've trusted a trustworthy person, and we've done it. How do you do that? You do it in every way you possibly can. Sometimes it's around the kitchen table. If you have time at breakfast and you got an hour for an hour devotion with your children, God bless you. You don't have much of a life. But I just... We don't normally have that, do we? So how do you do it? You do it in those settings. If it's a 10-minute setting, a 30-minute setting, you do it right here at Keystone Church. You do it here. But let me suggest to you also, it doesn't matter where you are and what you're doing, you can do it. That's what the Greek philosophers did. They would walk around. They called it peripateic instruction. Peripateic. Pateo means I walk. Peri means around. It's not a water. It means around. And so they're walking around in the marketplace and out in the field. The Jewish people did the same thing with their rabbis, and they'd have people walk along. And they instructed them, they encouraged them, they led them as they lived life. Could I just suggest to you, you don't have to be a theological whiz kid to lead your family. God's given you what you need, you just do it. Just do it. And so you lead them so that they follow. And then when good things happen in their life, listen to me, when good things happen in their life and you know it's God, give God some credit. Give Him some kudos, if you will. Let them know that God's in this. Early on, that's what happened to Joshua. They crossed the Jordan River. Moved from the west side to the east side into the land that God had promised. When they crossed over, it was in the season when the river was flooding. And God had to stop the water, and He had to dry out the ground so that the people of Israel could cross the Jordan from the west to the east and get in the land that they were supposed to have. After they did that, God told Joshua, I don't want anybody to forget this. So you go in there where the priests were standing and the water was heaped up to the north and the land is dry, and go get you 12 large stones. And you take those 12 large stones and you place them here in this city of Gilgal, right here on the east side of the Jordan River. And the reason I want you to do that, I don't want anybody to forget what I have done. So that when your children see it and they say, what's these rocks all about? You can tell them. And when your children's children look at those rocks and say, what are these rocks all about? You can tell them. And here's what I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them, when there was a barrier between where you were and where I wanted you to be, I eradicated that barrier. I got that barrier out of the way. And here's what I want them to know, that I intervened in their behalf. Could I suggest to you and me that there are times in our lives when we come up against barriers, there's no way. There's no way in God's green earth that we're going to be able to figure it out by ourselves. But somehow it all comes together. When it all comes together, let me say to you, that is not coincidence. That's what the old religious leaders call providence. That's the activity of God. And we need some visual reminders because we're prone to forget. We need some visual reminders that God has stepped in. So when our children see them, they know that God is a good God. And He's not a God who's off over here letting you do your thing and hollering out directions to you. No. Listen to what He said to Joshua. Listen to this. In 1:5 and 1:9, He said, the Lord your God will be with you every step of the way, and He will not forsake you nor leave you. That doesn't mean that he's just walking along as a passive guest. No, it means that he's involved as an active participant in your life. We need to set that before ourselves. I need to remind myself of that from time to time. I ask God for something, and then it happens, and sometimes I'm ashamed to say that I just act like it just happened. It just happened. And could I suggest to you, if you're the type of personality that takes hold of things and makes things happen, sometimes you'll want to take credit for what God's done. But instead of that, back off. Joshua, in his humility, he acknowledged that it was God. It was God. It was God. It was God. And you can trust him. And you can follow his pathway. And he will walk with you, removing the barriers, lifting you up when you got to go high, pulling you out when you're in the muck and the mire, strengthening you within when you feel like you're feeble and your knees are weak. God will do that. He will show you what you can't see. He will encourage you as you go. And you can pass that to your children by the life you live with God every day, in every way. And I promise you, your confidence, it won't be in you. A confident parent is not confident in themselves. It's not pride we're building. A confident parent learns that our confidence is in the Lord himself. So we give ourselves to him. We trust the trustworthy. We give ourselves to traveling his pathway. And he says, I promise you, you will find life success in dimensions you'd never discover in any other way. So what do? We trust him. We trust him. If you've never stepped across the line of faith, as a parent, you never have. Wow. What a time to do it. If you were sitting at my kitchen table with my boys and me and my wife and their wives and all of our grandchildren, if we were all sitting together and I could say to them, they said to me, Papa, Dad, what would you tell us to do? What would you tell us to do? So come in close. Here's what I would tell the people I've loved most on this planet. Trust Jesus and travel with him through life. That's what I'd tell you. And that's what I'd say to you. That's what I remind myself of today. Let's bow our heads, please. There, in all probability, Lord, there's parents in this room who are struggling some way or another. I pray for them. And Lord, all of us, we need you desperately. And we trust you completely. So would you just go ahead and do in our hearts what you need to do? We just take down every barrier and lay down every objection, anything. And we just say, Lord, with my hands open before you in an act of surrender, I give myself totally and absolutely, completely to you today. This is a destiny-determining decision for me today. And when I falter, forgive me and strengthen me and put me on the pathway again. I commit myself to you today, and I commit myself to your tried and proven pathway. And today, we present our children to you. We present them to you. We offer them to you. And I pray, God, that you'll make them living sacrifices, not dead ones, living ones. Give it over to you. That they'll not be stamped by values that are so far from you, but they will be transformed in their minds, in their hearts, in their lives by you, that they might discover that which is a pleasurable, profitable, prosperous, fulfilling pathway all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.